awake from a beautiful dream into a new dream. And this one feels different because you feel like you more than you've ever felt before. And if it was a movie, it would be like a drone shot swooping in from behind you. All right. You go. Hey, is DB there? No. All right. Technical difficulties once again. Welcome back to the Anti-Media for the Friday edition. I'm your host, Jake Anderson. And tonight, we're going to be swan diving further down the dirty but wondrous rabbit hole of conspiracy theory. And as you know or may suspect, our reality is a construct. It's this shiny little amalgam of jagged fragments melted down into something that we don't even know what it means anymore. But the closer we look at it, the more we realize that something's not quite right. And we put on our steampunk monocle and we peer into the atomic structure of the fragment. One second, still dealing with some technical difficulties. But, all right, I think we're all good now. We had some problems with the CIA there for a second. They were calling in and trying to scramble me and throw me off guard. And they succeeded. They threw me off guard, but now we're back. And I wanted to tell you guys about this little dream I had. If you're listening at the start, I started telling you about a dream I had where I was running across this field. And there was a, some dandelions in a field. And if it was a movie, it would have been a drone shot swooping in from behind me as I was galloping across this field. And there was a beagle next to me. And I was drawn towards this mountain in the near distance. And I didn't know why. There was something calling to me from this mountain. As I got closer, I realized it was covered with people, thousands of people, and I knew all of them. And the mountain was covered with everyone I'd ever met in my entire life, everyone I ever loved. But then the closer I got, I realized that the drone shot, the camera that was swooping in from behind me to film it, it was actually a drone strike, and it had been authorized by none other than President Barack Obama, who I voted for and unwittingly let into my dream. And then, of course, they blew up the mountain with all the people I'd ever met. That was the dream I had. And welcome to the Anti-Media, everyone. I want you all to join me for a nice Friday edition of this very optimistic show. And I'm joined by someone who I think has had a similar dream to that. DB, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
Yeah, it wasn't that similar. But yeah, I mean, we can talk about symbolism all day and night, right? I mean, Jake, you still haven't tried ayahuasca, so you don't know what the waking dream is like.
Let's discuss that. At the one time we met, that's what we talked about, I believe. DB, you came into Albuquerque, and we talked about some ayahuasca. And I have not done it, but I would like to. The waking dream, maybe tell our viewers a little bit what that's like.
I didn't know we had viewers, but I know our listeners are probably, you know, this is the thing, man. It unleashes a massive quantity of DMT into your system, similar to what you'd experience during birth or death. And essentially, you can see outside yourself and look at your true soul body, or what you actually, what in your mind's what in your mind's eye portrays you as a consciousness, essentially. So, for instance, when I looked at myself in a mirror, I was not a human. I was massive alabaster kind of, I don't even know what to say, but a frog-like being, dude. And it was a very interesting experience to see myself in like a reflective mirror of what my soul thought it was, not this human flesh suit we're in. And I had a totally quintessential ayahuasca experience where I met like the goddess, and I had the snake eat itself, eat its own body. The two snakes wrapped into itself basically forever. I guess one guy, though, while we were there had a bad trip, so the shaman just put him to sleep. But it's tough to remember things. Just you see them in flashes, and it's kind of like a dream, but you're totally awake. And I don't know, man. I'm not going to say it fixed me, but it definitely it put me at ease. It put me at peace, because for a while I felt like a fish out of water kind of on this earth, like I know a lot of people do. And it gave me perspective, like maybe I was down here having this experience on purpose, but it wasn't actually who I am.
Wow, that's intense, man. Yeah, I've dabbled, I'll say intensely, I'll go ahead and use that word, intensely with psychedelics, particularly my freshman year of college at Santa Cruz, and I was taking metaphysics. The Metaphysics of Color was the name of the class, and then a class called the Quantum Enigma at the same time, and I was also reading John Paul Sartre's Being and Nothingness, and the combination of all those things, I'm not going to say it was a good thing, because you know what's good and what's bad, really, but it definitely melted my brain to a certain extent. But you know, well, let's see, what have we got going on tonight, man? This has been a weird week, I'll be honest with you. I think everyone can testify to the fact that something was unleashed by this election. I'm not sure what it was. I'm not talking Stephen King style unleashed, although it could be like The Mist, who knows. But it definitely feels as if it feels sort of like right after 9/11. And I'm not saying that in a partisan way. I'm not saying Trump is evil and so he is equal to terrorists. I mean in that it feels like the train tracks of the universe is shifted a little bit, and that we're kind of on a different path. And I remember on the Monday or Wednesday show, Nick asked you if you felt like we had gone off script. And I thought that was a good way of saying it. And because I certainly kind of feel like we may a little bit off script, except that I feel like I feel like they're just going to find a way to, you know, I don't really think anyone at the upper echelons of power is really going to lose or gain from this.
But and Jake, what are these men and a few women, if not bankers at heart? Above all, they are insurance salesmen and money changers, and they're ahead of the curve, and they know the liabilities, and they had AI when AI was in its infancy, whenever the hell that was, maybe the 80s, and they had it plugged into algorithms strictly for insurance policies. So they're way ahead, man. They have contingencies. They didn't care if Trump won. If Hillary won, it would have been so much easier for them. But this way, they'll just go the other route. They're going to use his xenophobia. They're going to use his nationalism and meld it with a fascism and find us a new enemy. It won't be Russia. We staved off World War III for the time being, but right. don't be sure, and don't be even surprised if we don't see a concerted effort to cause a massive trade war with China, our biggest creditor.
China.
You know, China.
Well, he already said that. I mean, he's basically already said that he wouldn't mind. He didn't put it like that, but he said, you know, trade war with China is not off the books.
Trade war becomes real war, and then I swear I've told I don't know how many people already that having Trump in precludes a formal military and economic alliance with Russia. We're going to have something come up here shortly where we're going to acknowledge the fact that we couldn't have won World War II without them, that they sacrificed several generations of men to beat the Nazis. We couldn't have done it without them. We would have been defeated. We couldn't have handled them and the Japanese, and they paid the ultimate price. And that all this saber-rattling and the Cold War was all stupid bullshit. And we have way more in common than we don't, and we need to basically protect ourselves and our way of life. And let's not kid ourselves. The average Russian would love to have a more American lifestyle if they could. And if we had open trade lines with them, they could. Because they have all the oil we'll ever need in Siberia. We can cut Saudi Arabia completely out of the picture, and I think that's what's been going on behind the scenes.
Well, we could go on for hundreds of hours on the geopolitical spectrum. I wanted this show to be kind of like a middle ground, a neutral ground to talk about conspiracy theories in a way that we don't normally get to hear about them. Usually when you hear about conspiracy theories, you either hear about it from people that are complete skeptics who really have turned any kind of pretense of an intelligent discussion about conspiracies into an invective throwing, shit show, for lack of a better word.
You mean controlled opposition?
Yeah, that's a conspiracy theory, but yes. But on one side, you have the people that are just completely against it. And on the other hand, you have people that have gone so far down the rabbit hole that they have actually turned into rabbits themselves. Just people that have, drunk the Kool-Aid, any word you want to use for it. And so it's very difficult to get in that middle ground where you're actually rationally trying to get at the truth of it, which is unfortunate because we know that many of the conspiracy theories are, at least a good fraction of them that we talk about, have granules of truth to them. And I've written extensively about them. I wrote an article for the Anti-Media, 10 Conspiracy Theories That Turned Out to Be True, and I'll get into that in a minute here. But the reason I bring it up is because this week, a very curious thing happened. Basically, a woman, a professor, threw out a list of news sites that she believed are containing fake news or misleading news. As a result of this list, which inexplicably went viral, and it comes, of course, at the time when Facebook is really receiving a lot of heat from the election, Google's receiving a lot of heat from the election for hosting fake news. A lot of it turns out to have been pro-Trump, anti-Clinton, misleading news. And so this list went out there, and there's this new push to basically censor misleading news. And the way they want to do it is Facebook is going to toy with their algorithm so that this stuff isn't shared as much, and Google is going to alter their monetization algorithm, meaning that they're going to try and make it to where sites, for example, Zero Hedge, which was on the list, would receive less AdSense money because of a tweak to the algorithm. Now, some people, and Nick Burnaby, founder of Anti-Media, was actually one of them who first was like, well, sites are crap, and he's right, and of course he wasn't that simplistic about it, but some of these sites are bad. There's a lot of bad sites, and we're going to get into them. But some of them are actually pretty legitimately, fact-checking sites. Whether you agree with their politics or not, we get into this very hazy territory here where we're starting to talk about a self-censorship, a kind of panopticon of censorship that we're doing to ourselves, but through the free market. And in order to talk about this more, I wanted to bring in our friend, a really amazing journalist who writes for one of the sites on this list, the Free Thought Project, Claire Bernish. She is a great, incredible journalist, and she has a very unique perspective on this. Claire, are you there? No, she's not. I'm going to take that silence as a no. DB, are you there?
I am, sir, but I think we need to add her.
I'm battling to not view this as a conspiracy theory. Claire, are you there? Well, it appears the CIA has won again. Let me try and figure out what's going on with it here.
I'm trying to add her here, buddy. Hold on.
Let's get Claire on here. I'm having all kinds of Skype issues tonight.
She's getting wrong.
What's that?
I'm ringing her and try to add her in here unless she has a different profile. I think I still have her profile.
I just added her. Things should be good. I mean, it's too late. Everything's screwed up. My brilliant opening monologue was already ruined. Claire, are you there? No, she's not. All right. Well, we'll get her in here in a second. But let me get back to this. I wrote an op-ed on it, and it's a pretty disturbing phenomenon. For those of you who don't fully know what the deal is, well, I just explained it. But basically, the establishment media, it appears, is going to try to use the backlash of Hillary losing as a pretense for cracking down on alternative media, basically. The list of these sites is such that there's no other way to look at it except that it's alternative media. On one hand, yes, you do have sites like InfoWars and Breitbart, extreme right libertarian leading sites. But then you also have Zero Hedge, which, I actually quite like them. You have the Free Thought Project. You have, IntelliHub. I'm not as familiar, but you have Occupy Democrats. Sites that, maybe have some problems with them. I mean, look at this. You have the Onion's sister site, Clickhole, on there, for God's sakes. I mean, that's clearly a satire site. You get Activist Post, The Daily Sheeple. I mean, these are sites that are independent alternative media sites. And you have this hit piece that's trying to take out all alternative media. Coast to Coast AM is on there. I'm sure you're familiar with that one, DB.
Dude, all you have to see is Don Lemon interviewed his own cameraman. I mean, the MSM is absolutely BS.
Oh, absolutely.
So whatever they decide to portray as fake news, they've already gone down that road a long time ago. I mean, Wag the Dog, the movie in the early 2000s, portrayed things they were already doing in the mid-90s as far as being able to have the CGI capabilities of green screening everything and never having to be on site. I mean, Nancy Drew was caught in the same parking lot as some guy who was supposed to be across the country on scene. A car honked in the background and it went on both screens. So, they've been caught, man, and they're completely fake. Was there not an amendment made by SCOTUS to the constitutional bylaw that allowed them to pump propaganda for the public good and for national security? That was so broad-reaching, so wide of a scope. Since World War II never officially ended, and people need to really look into this, it never really did. It just became an armistice, and the Korean War was actually World War 2.5, and then Vietnam countered on and everything since, and we've never officially declared war because we can't, because we have a Department of Defense that changed in 1952, because what a lot of people don't understand is we didn't even actually stop fighting Japan until 52. That's what Korea was about. The Korean War was actually a continuation of World War II. And everything we know is just way different than we were told, and for obvious reasons, because people were tired of fighting and dying, and like they just wanted it to be over with. And we lied, and we said we won, and we didn't really. It was more of a stalemate worldwide. Nobody really won World War II. If they did, then there'd be a Pax Americana. We would control the whole world, and we don't. And even Russia doesn't control anything. China's still a major power. How is China so strong after they got destroyed by Japan in World War II?
China. Well,
the truth is they didn't. It was never what people thought it was. China actually is the biggest recipient of Japanese investment ever. Like, basically, as soon as Clinton, Bill got in office, Japan pulled out and divested everything. And that's when we really hit this major, major problem after the tech boom, where we have no manufacturing at all. It's all in China now. And we buy it. And it's kind of weird how that works. So, I don't know, man. We go off on tangents. Where are we going next? Where are we going next?
Well, I want to bring us back into this the news thing, because I looked it up, and the site PolitiFact, which won a Pulitzer Prize. Now, of course, I don't really trust anyone or anything, and there's personal reasons for that, but yeah, we don't need to get into that here. But the point is, PolitiFact did a tally on media itself, which is kind of cool, because how normally PolitiFact will hone in on a particular candidate, for example, Trump, and they'll say what percentage of what they say is true, mostly true, half true, mostly false, and pants on fire. They did one of these, let's see, when was this published? This was published in 2015, and they did it on these news stations. Okay, so they... and Fox, 10% of the time, Fox is true. 11% is mostly true, 18% half-truth. 31% of the time, Fox is flat out false. Now, Fox is the easiest one to kind of nail on, because, you know, growing up, I grew up in a liberal household. All my friends were liberal. Fox, it was the easiest one to pick on, because it was easy to say blame them as being conservative. But when you get into MSNBC, this kind of partisanship breaks down. It gets a little bit harder to analyze this. MSNBC does not have much of a better, in fact, in terms of truth, they're less than Fox. Only 9% of MSNBC's claims are true. 24% was mostly true, 22% was half true, 22% was mostly false, 18% was false, and 4% of what you see on MSNBC is pants on fire false. CNN, not that much better. A little bit better, 15% true, 42% mostly true. So CNN, according to PolitiFact, is better than MSNBC. But you still have... 23% of CNN's claims are half true. Now, you're talking about CNN. This is supposed to be the quintessence of judicious, scholarly, rigorous journalism. And you have only 23% of it is a half truth. Now, where are we getting this giant list of sites that are completely... fake, if we have sites that are so bad? Maybe Claire can probably shed some light on this. Claire, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I needed some kind of verbal confirmation there. so you've been writing about the this assistant professor who came out with this list. I did a little bit of a summary on it, but you're better at that kind of thing than I am. Can you give us like just a nice solid summary of what the hell happened with this list?
Well, there's a lot of debate about this. I mean, the mainstream pounced on the list. It's actually funny because she, did you say her name and stuff? I can't remember. Melissa Zimdars. She published this list.
I don't even trust that name. That sounds like a fake name to me.
Well, she published this list ostensibly to teach her class. She's a media communications associate professor at a university that's ranked 57th in the region where it's located. And she's only been on the job for 18 months. So this is questionable from the get-go. So she publishes this list, which is actually, from my understanding, although it could be wrong, I've read several reports that say that this was a reprint of a list with a couple of add-ons from a couple of years ago or a year ago that somebody else had compiled. And then she took to Facebook for her, you know, media communications buddies in her echo chamber and asked them to send her links to sites that they didn't like, basically. She did not perform any due diligence whatsoever in compiling this list. Whether or not she took it from somebody else and ran with it, she didn't do anything. She didn't provide an explanation for each site that was placed there. She didn't provide, you know, what her analysis was, her reason for placing these sites there. And it's actually rather horrendous to imagine this being a teaching tool for a college professor. That's rather telling. I'm not sure if it's telling on how bad college level education has gotten or what, but still. So she went ahead and made this list public after she and her buddies threw a bunch of outlets on there and didn't do anything to check up on them, really. And if you look at the slant, there are sites that are right-leaning. There's a whole ton of alternative media sites that are both legitimate and not. And there are some mainstream outlets that supported Bernie Sanders during the election cycle. And if all of the outlets basically that kind of touted Hillary Clinton as their darling did not end up on that list. And that should say everything that anybody needs to know. Ironically enough, those same outlets that touted Hillary Clinton rushed to republish this totally bogus list as if it were, you know, this God's honest truth of, I don't know, some definitive commentary on what sites not to visit. I think that the thing that concerns me the most is that this list suddenly surfaced. She suddenly made this public, seemingly right around the same time that the Hillary Clinton camp was denigrating Facebook for not dealing with its supposed fake news problem, which it claims swayed the election, which is completely not true. Right. Even Zuckerberg himself said from the beginning, he's like, there's no possible way that could have swayed the election. It's like statistically impossible.
Unless WikiLeaks is considered fake.
Right. Right. They can't have it both ways. Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't put WikiLeaks on there, quite frankly, except that they know that even they wouldn't stoop to that level as to put WikiLeaks same level as Zero Hedge. Oh my God. But you know what's interesting, Claire, is I just looked on here. I noticed that Blue Nation Review is on the list, and that is basically a Hillary surrogate site that's owned by one of the Hillary people. I can't remember his name. So maybe they just threw on that on there for some red meat. The more I think about it, I don't feel like there was. I feel like this was almost an accident that this got so much attention. I think this is probably part of a psyop to see how far they can go with honing in on. I mean, you have Collective Evolution on here. I mean, why the hell would that be on there? I mean, that site's like alternative healing and whatnot. Go ahead.
The whole thing is bogus and extremely suspect. But what the reason that I agree that it could easily be a psyop. But I think that the timing of this list surfacing exactly at the same time that the left declared war on fake news
Right. Yeah.
Because this, it's just there are no such things as coincidences, and this is incredibly.
Yeah.
It's incredibly suspect.
You're right. That's too big of a coincidence. Yeah. This is. I just don't know. I mean, I guess that's what. This is where the battle is right now. They are just like, are they that dense? Are they that thick that they think this is really the battle? I mean, look, if this is a partisan thing, if you're talking about the different spheres of influence, the liberal political establishment, okay, if this is really why you think he lost the election, I mean, I don't really think any intelligent person... James Carville and that group, they know damn well why they lost. They lost because they tried to squeeze a terribly unliked candidate loaded with baggage down the throats of Americans at a time when they want a revolutionary candidate. They gave him the exact opposite of that. They have to know that. At the same time, maybe this is, if it's a psyop, this is more of an accidental leak on the part of the bigger establishment, because look, they know right now, and this is just my conspiracy theory, bear with me here for a second. They know full well that they can't stop the internet right now. And they couldn't even get rid of net neutrality. My feeling is this is an attempt at a kind of self-imposed battle against net neutrality, a panopticon where they're going to try and tag us against each other. They're going to try and get the free market to do the net neutrality on its own. So you try and enlist a Facebook, you try and enlist a Google, and you try and get public sentiment on the side of using their algorithms to try and target the sites that are hurting them without actually having to go in with a draconian hammer and actually put out the lights, because they can't do that. Is any of that ringing true? Do you think there's a sense in which this is a psyop that's intended to do what they couldn't do against net neutrality?
I think it's actually much darker than that.
Oh,
and you know how I eschew tinfoil. So, I mean, it's kind of, and I've really been studying this a lot. I think that actually this is a move, like this is the most alarming sign of a move towards fascism this country has ever seen. This is not just, about a fake list and fake media. That's definitely a big aspect of it, but it's much, much darker than that. What they're trying to do is channel the range of acceptable debate, the range of acceptable thought. And the reason that you're right to an extent, they're sort of attempting to have the censorship undertaken by private entities. And the thing is, it's already happening. New York Magazine, for one, has already implemented an extension, a browser extension, that people can use to filter out sites that were on the list. Facebook has, under pressure from the left, they had a hackathon to try to solve the problem of fake news. Four college kids were like really smug about it and said that they came up with a solution in less than 36 hours. Their solution is an artificial intelligence bot that seeks out things based on ratings and other weird crap like that. One of the things that their AI bot found, that everybody, like Business Insider, reported on this, and one of the reports that they found that targeted as being false information, essentially, or not reliable information, was based on a government website study. So it was a .gov address from the original study that actually had the exact words in it, and their extension, which Facebook sponsored this hackathon in part, this extension that they want to employ will flag things that are, even the government says is true, as being false.
Yeah, this is, this is definitely an information war, and I've been arguing this for a while, which is I really truly think that the next war will be an asymmetric war, and it'll be on hackers, leakers, information itself. Even Marshall McLuhan himself said that World War III would be an information war, and that there would be no dividing line between military and civilian. And I think most people know that that war is already underway, and it's not going to be boots on the ground. It's positioning for information. And I think, I don't know, DB, what do you think about that? Do you think World War III is an information war that's already started, and do you think what we're seeing this week is a salvo in that battle?
It's physical already. I mean, it's definitely collateral and physical already. It's just not, it hasn't hit any major powers' home front yet, and they're going to try to avoid that as much as they can. So they're going to try to fight a virtual World War III where they can attack each other through hacking and through God knows what other means. But, you know, there's too much to lose for people that really own the world right now. The collateral to rebuild without actual robots being ready, which probably aren't, is just too much for them to handle, man. So I guess we're in a kind of a golden era here where we can possibly make a difference. And, we gotta root out people. We've got to root out the evil in the world while we can expose it, while we have this window of opportunity. The only way we can do that is public pressure on people like FBI, CIA. The good people in there, if they take out the bad people, they have our full support. I mean, maybe that's what this election was about, to see if they could install Hillary or if the average person would actually get off their ass and go vote. I'm not saying Trump's any better. I'm just saying he's different. And I don't know what kind of different it is, but it does. There's some kind of new era here going on, and there is this slight window to take advantage.
Yeah. I was going to ask you another question, but go on.
I think that it's important to note that the reason for this war on fake news is because the left is obviously embittered over a really stunning, to them, defeat.
Yeah.
And alternative media did a most stellar job of covering all of the different leaks from WikiLeaks and emails and like exposing what the truth was.
Yeah, we really pistol whipped them, didn't we?
We did. It was like the ultimate kind of legitimization of alternative media as actually the real media. And that's the thing. Mainstream is very embittered about that. The left establishment is very embittered about that. So what it really is, it has nothing to do with fake news whatsoever. And the list kind of proves this by its, you know, it has a few red herrings, yes, but by who has been omitted from that list. What it proves is that it is not a war on fake news. It's a war on actual, real news with journalistic integrity.
Yes, that's what I've been trying to get at, is that I don't even like using this phrase fake news, because it has nothing to do with this. They're using that as a red... They're using that... What's the phrase? A red herring? No. They're using that as a...
Decoy?
Yes, it's red meat. It's like, oh, we know you hate this. You hate clickbait, because everyone's been all over social media this entire election cycle. Like, oh, I'm so sick of this clickbait. Oh, I'm so sick of people not fact checking. I'm so sick of these memes without sources. And that's a whole other issue. Those people drive me crazy to begin with. But because, you know, as if these people ever did a lick of research anyway. Oh, you want, here's a stick of gum. You want me to chew it for you? I mean, it's unbelievable. But now you have them using this idea of fake news to go to war with alternative news. And that's the key here, is it's not fake news or misleading news against anything that goes against their carefully curated narrative of what they want to happen. And yes, you're right. They saw very, very clearly how much power we have. And quite frankly, as much as I hate the right, as much as I hate Trump, and as much as I hate that whole establishment that has now taken over the reins of Washington again, man, do I feel proud and happy to be a part of a team that took down this just disgusting empire of lies, which is exactly what the Hillary people represented. Do I think the other side's going to be any better? No, but guess what? Now they know where we are, They know who we are, and they know what power we have. And that's important, that we can now leverage this power. And that's why they came out, and look how anemic they look. This looks so pathetic, this stupid list, and them coming out and blaming Facebook. I mean, you can almost tell Zuckerberg just kind of wants to laugh in their face. It's so pathetic. Mm-hmm. And indeed, they're going to try and use what are they going to do next? Target bad search engine optimization? I mean, I work in SEO, and can companies, it will contact companies wanting to get certain keywords ranking. And why? Not for good, to cover up bad stuff. You know, a lawyer that gets a sexual, I mean, this is not a specific case, a lawyer that gets a sexual harassment lawsuit on him, all of a sudden, all of the search engine results, anytime you type in his name, all you read is this sexual harassment lawsuit. So what do? You fill it with fake positive news to fill up the feed so that when you type in his name, you don't see the sexual harassment anymore. You see this fake bullshit positive news. That's the world we live in now, and that's what happens when you start messing with these algorithms, as you might not get the bad stuff anymore, but you're going to get a lot of fake good stuff. Which is better? I don't know. I don't know if anyone knows that, but I think the truth is always better.
It would be much better if people would actually – I'm nearly 43 years old, and in order for me to research when I was growing up, I had to go to an actual library and look in a card catalog that was paper, and – the fact that people are so lazy, they won't even follow a hyperlink, much less research anything that they share, it's a travesty of intellect. It really is. But I think that the worst part here that I think that also needs to be highlighted is the fact that President Obama has now taken up the cause of the war on fake news.
Oh, he is shameless.
Yeah, this is really bad. And he's not alone.
He's got a lot to hide.
Well,
he's got a lot to hide.
Of course, but here's the thing. Let me just, if it's okay, if I can just read this thing, because I wanted to read, this is like the irony of it all. This is what I wrote about in this whole fake news thing, talking about the professor and stuff, because we all play a role in this too. All of us, by sharing, by headline, not researching, not following the links or seeing what the sources are, people who just share shit without paying attention, we have caused this problem. We've all contributed to this. Now, we can fight it, but it needs to be done. But here's the irony. Now we have a war on dissenting opinion with censorship and suppression hot on its heels, and an elected leader of the so-called free world touting the most undemocratic tactic in existence, censorship of the press, by essentially saying a free press threatens democracy. Because what he said is fake news threatens democracy. That's terrifying. That should terrify anybody who is a defender of free speech and free press and basically the First Amendment.
Absolutely. I've heard a curious silence on this. I've been waiting for some of my Liberace liberal friends. I don't know why I said Liberace. That doesn't make sense. I've been waiting for some of them. Some of these people who, turned the Charlie Hebdo terrorist attack into this giant retrospective on free speech. I'm waiting for them to chime in on this, because I'm waiting for these same clickbait so much to start using that as an excuse to censor the news. And we are in a weird, dark intersection when we start getting to that point. And I agree with you that we're in a dark area right now, because the establishment has clearly realized they wetted their finger, they put it in the air, and they know which way the wind is blowing right now, and it scares the hell out of them. And this election, it was just complete verification. They knew something was wrong. You could see it in some of the WikiLeaks releases, the way they were strategizing. They knew there's actual direct quotes of them saying this alternative media, is more powerful than we thought. And this election just turned everything. Nothing will ever be the same again because of this election. The liberal media literally got curb stomped in this election. And they're never going to...
All media, Jake. I mean, all mainstream media lost all credibility. All mainstream media puppets, like the Young Turks, like Vice, Young, like Salon, yeah. like... anybody who's attached to a traditional media dinosaur lost all credibility because they just parroted their parent companies. Absolutely. I mean, it doesn't matter who it is. Even Al Jazeera lost credibility. So anybody that took a dime from one of these corporate bastards lost credibility.
And it shows that they had no choice. It just shows it shows the ultimate corruption of dynastic corporatism, which is that you have, I guess it's the ultimate failure of corporatocracy, which is when you have this umbrella of different media assets at the bottom, and they all trail back up to one or two at the top, you end up getting a complete monocratization, everything is monochrome, everything they're saying, you're right, it's just parroting what the parent company wanted said, and they're actually starting to reflect on it now. This echo chamber was created with the same thing said over and over and over again, and it distracted them from what the populace was saying. Now, unfortunately, the populace movement was kind of forced to get behind a Donald Trump because they had nowhere else to go. If it had been Bernie Sanders, it would have been Bernie Sanders. It was going to be one of those two. I said this to my parents when we started watching those early primary debates. It's either going to be Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump, because there's no way in hell. People are so sick of these establishment politicians. They won't take it anymore. And that's why this alt-right movement, man, they're scary as hell, because they're on the right side of internet history. They understand what they're doing online. Breitbart and InfoWars, they have their finger on the pulse of the internet, and the internet is what's shaping the future of thought right now. You know, who on the left is doing that? I don't know. Who's going to be the left juggernaut that's going to come out and lead the way online? Who is it going to be? I don't know. I can't think of one. Well, I mean, I actually, let me take that entire question back, because I don't give a shit who on the left is doing it. The left doesn't matter. The right doesn't matter. We are leading the way, actually. I answered my own question. The alternative media is leading the way, and fortunately, most of them are not affiliated with a political party. Now, you have some groups
Jake, who can hack the drones, and who can grow the food?
Yeah, good question.
That's the only thing that matters.
I think the same way that the Democrats were willing to lose the election as opposed to run Bernie Sanders, I think the establishment would rather watch the entire empire collapse than to try and heal it from the inside. I think these people are so sadistically self-destructive, they would rather watch the empire burn and then take, you know.
The empire will not burn, it will become Panem.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that the empire is obviously dying. It's in the death throes. I mean, there's no question about that. What is an open question? We have two major open questions. There are obviously, I mean, you know, it gets tired to compare Trump to a potential fascist dictator, but the parallels are all there. Like, historically speaking, it actually makes sense to do that. We should be doing that. That's actually vital and imperative. So we have that as an open question. And judging by his cabinet and transition team picks, we should be doing that all the time and not let up. The other open question is, you're talking about not only the bruised ego left establishment, who obviously doesn't want to go down without a fight. That's why they wanted Hillary. It's like, that was their candidate, and they so stubbornly, obstinately went with Hillary and didn't listen to the people because they felt that their establishment would be threatened by Bernie because he would change their narrative.
Yep.
So this part, that whole side of the establishment is equally as dangerous as the fascistic right. It's fascistic in its own sense, because at this point, considering they're using they have now employed Soros and a bunch of other people, literally they're in talks to, I think it's a direct quote, kick Trump's ass. They don't want to see him actually take office in January. Like, this is really shaping up to be somewhat of a spectacle.
Now we're getting back into some conspiracy theory. Eyes Wide Shut music. Now, who wants to take Trump down before January?
Hillary Clinton's team has employed, they are in talks with financiers, including Soros, and this was in Salon. This was not in some, like, crazy, you know, outlet. They are in talks with Soros and a couple other, like, hefty financier, like, billionaire financiers to undertake a campaign that literally one of them, I can't remember who it was, but one of the Clinton camp said they are going to try to kick Trump's ass, meaning they are going to try to do everything in their power to prevent him basically from coming to office, or if he comes to office, they're going to prevent him from doing anything whatsoever with his power once he gets
there. That doesn't make any sense. Okay.
That's what I'm talking about. They are not rational. The left is not rational at this point.
To prevent him from doing anything, that the right has all three branches of government. The only thing they can do is to either, I mean, what are they going to do, kill him? I mean, I don't
know what they're thinking.
They're going to professionally protest him into oblivion.
Oh, great. Look, I mean, I don't put it past them trying. This is what I think could happen. And I do think there's a very real chance that something like this could go down. I think the guy they really want is Pence. Pence represents the ultimate conservative base. He's everything they want. He's everything they wanted from Cruz, mixed with a kind of pragmatism of a Kasich. Pence is the guy they want. So how can they get Pence in there? Well, I mean, I think that one goes without saying. But would they go that far? Kennedy was... How far into his term was Kennedy? Was Kennedy 2 years? How far into his term was Kennedy?
A year and a half.
Year and a half. I thought it was two, but year and a half. And how popular was he? I can't remember. How big did he win his election?
I think he got, I want to say he got like 59, something like that.
50 of the popular vote.
I don't know. We can probably Google that, but
I'm too lazy to Google that. I'll get fake news if I Google it.
From all indications, he was extremely popular with the average person on the street. Essentially, he was the voice and face of the civil rights movement in popular culture, along with Martin Luther King, and then you had Malcolm X in the undercurrent. So
he was the face of the civil rights movement, and they blew his head off on national television.
Yep. And then they hit Martin Luther King, actually, literally, when he just went outside one day in the morning with a cup of coffee, just blew him away, too. So
now, if they would do that, what makes you think they wouldn't kill off someone who's one of the most hated politicians in history?
He's going to play ball. That's why. And he's already indicated he will. He never was not going to.
But guess what? If he didn't and they killed him, do you realize what would happen?
He won't. They won't, and you don't need to worry about it. Listen, it was straight Game of Thrones what was Trump. He was just a bet between him and Bill that he said, I bet I can beat Hillary. And Bill said, I hope you do, Trump. I hope you do. I hate bitch.
Oh, God damn it. Oh, God damn it, Donald.
God damn it, that makes me harder than any of these bimbos I've been digging.
Oh man, I'm so tired of her shit, man. I'm so tired of it. I'd love for you to beat her. Oh God.
Yeah, here's, all right. I found the report. It was not Salon. It was Politico, which, granted, is obviously a megaphone for Hillary Clinton's camp, but nonetheless, it's Media Matters David. Well, former Media Matters David Brock, who's now a Hillary Clinton kind of strongman.
Oh, you
has announced
the guy himself.
Yeah, he announced on Thursday night that 200 of the biggest donors on the left, including finance titans George Soros, Tom Steyer, and Donald Sussman, they're going to be at a retreat in Palm Beach over inauguration weekend to assess what the Democrats did wrong, which is fairly obvious to the rest of us. And they are, where does he say this? What better way to spend an inaugural weekend than talking about how to kick Donald Trump's ass? Brock said.
What? Okay, that's lame. Politico, they were super into
it. They featured prominently in the Clinton emails.
That was definitely it was a misquote. He did not mean kick, he meant lick.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone thinks that. I mean, you know, I had heard that there was going to be a campaign to try and actually convince the electors to not pick Trump.
That's silly.
It is silly, but like you said, they're not thinking rationally right now. And why? They can't stand the fact that they're not going to... I mean, oh my God, I would pay...
Is
I would
this
pay
Christian
a lot...
Slater?
What? I would pay a lot of money to have been in the room with Hillary and Bill when some of these returns started coming in.
You're really lucky you weren't.
she said that she never wanted to leave the house after the results really started being clear.
She made Bill get at least 10 to 12 direct shots to the nuts with high heels.
Oh my God. Okay, so let's we got about 2 minutes left. Let's get into some predictions here. What's going to happen? Who is going to be president in 3 years? Who's going to be president in 4 years? And then who will be president in 8 years? I know that's a weird question, but will Trump still be president by the end of his term? And will he serve a second term?
Claire.
He won't be president. He'll be chancellor.
Oh, God.
I'm not even kidding. I'm not even kidding. I'm going to make that prediction now.
You're part of the White Rose movement. I mean, you definitely think that this is...
I've wavered back and forth, but I have been studying this intently for the past little bit since he's been picking his cabinet and transition team, and I would have to say that is a distinct possibility.
All right, that's it for us tonight. Have fun.
God Emperor Trump, there will be no term limit.
Sleep well. Yo, here we go through the stereo.
This is Ozzy Skateboard, and you're listening to UCY.TV.